All right. Well, we are currently going through a series together called Practicing the Way, and we also are preaching on Sundays in an 8-part series that follows along with it. So if you're already in a small group, you know that. And if you're not, I don't know if you can join a group at this point, so I don't know why I brought it up. But next time we do it, you should get involved because it's been awesome. Are you guys enjoying this journey? It has been a lot of fun. I'm very encouraged. But in this, there was a great quote that I liked, and I think it's a Dallas Willard quote, but it's simply this: the practices are disciplines based on the lifestyle of Jesus that create time and space for us to access the presence and power of the Spirit, and in doing so, be transformed from the inside out. So when we're talking about practices and disciplines, it's not this idea of mastering this perfect way that then this way becomes salvation. It's that these practices cause us to be in a lifestyle that looks like Jesus, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're transformed to be like Jesus while we're currently being with Jesus. And there's a big difference because, honestly, the Pharisees were a group of very well-meaning, very pious, very disciplined people that had some pretty amazing practices, but then they fell in love with the practices and they were led the charge on crucifying Christ. And we're capable of that. I don't know if you guys know this, but I am a recovering legalist. You wouldn't know that based on almost everything about my life, but inside, I can quickly become very legalistic. It kind of, honestly, to this day, it still shocks me how naughty this little heart can get when it starts really feeling like it's doing good. It's like, oh, we've done it. Perfect. Okay, Jason, I have a few things to teach you. It's like, whoa, that quick? Like 5 minutes ahead of Jason and already ready for him to learn in my tutelage. But that has been, does anybody else want to confess, like, how quickly? No one else? Come on, public confession. It's the lip. Thank you, Vern. Me and you, buddy. Yes. And you know what? Now that Vern and I have arrived, we have some things to say to the rest of you. It's very tempting as we embrace these disciplines to fall in love with the disciplines and miss out on the joy that the disciplines are pointing towards. It's making space to be present with the Lord. And we do need to make space in order to become aware of his presence. He is always with us. But how many times have we heard, and remember Jacob, he said, I was at the gate of heaven, and yet I did not know it. Guys, we live a lot of our life right there at the gate of heaven, and we do not know it. We're there present with the Lord, and we do not know it because we may be in the practice of things that cause us to be very distracted and hurried. Is that true? And so this is that invitation. And as we practice, things change in us over time. I want to encourage everyone as we're going through these things together as followers of Christ. Maybe some of you are just beginning to follow Christ, or maybe you're just beginning to purposefully follow Christ. Do not be discouraged as we continue to walk in these rhythms together, as we continue to practice the things that Jesus did. We become like him little by little over time, and we are with him as we become like him. So it's a win-win, but if we're measuring all the time, we can get really discouraged. Does anybody ever get discouraged? Or you're sort of like, how am I still doing this thing? Maybe just me, maybe just the pastor, that's fine. So be encouraged. He's changing us little by little over time. God is working, amen? So today I'm gonna talk to you about the Sabbath, and I love the Sabbath. I was really excited that I got to be the one to talk about it because it's something that's so life-giving. So I'm going to begin with the first place we see the Sabbath come up. And it's Genesis chapter 1, verses 31 through, or verse 31 to chapter 2, verse 4. And I'm going to read it to you from the Message. We've got it here so you can read along with me. God looked over everything he had made. This is on the sixth day, okay? So we're starting at creation, and we're on the sixth day. He already did all the beautiful stuff and said, it's good, it's good, it's good. And now we start here. God looked over everything he had made. It was so good, so very good. It was evening, it was morning, day 6. Heaven and earth were finished, down to the last detail. And by the seventh day, God had finished his work. On the seventh day, he rested from all his work. God blessed the seventh day. He made it a holy day because on that day, he rested from his work, all the creating God had done. This is the story of how it all started, of heaven and earth when they were created. You see what's going on here? God has made man, he's made earth, he's made the stars, he's made the universe. He says it's very, very good. And then he stops and he rests. But he made man on the sixth day. And our first day in Adam, our first day in Adam with God was on the Sabbath. We began in Eden. Our relationship with the Lord and God's relationship with mankind began with Adam in the garden from a place of resting in the work that God had done. And he took time to stop working and rest with Adam. Do you see that? So our launching point, our beginning point with God is exactly the same. If you've been born again, you've been born again into the kingdom of heaven, and you've been born again because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. You're returned to the original desire and design of God, which is to begin in a place of resting in what he created, in the work that he has done, in relationship with him, you with him and him with you. And from that place, he says, okay, after this, I'm going to show you what we're working on. And after 6 days of working together, we're going to rest again. And that's the original rhythm that was given to us as humans. Is that beautiful? I love that. I love that. This was before sin, guys. This was before death. This was before even the law of Moses. This is before the old covenant. This is his original perfect idea that has been marred in no way begins with the invitation to celebrate the Sabbath with him. Our basis, our identity begins as sons and daughters in the garden. And we celebrate that in a rhythm of Sabbath. The next time that we see the Sabbath come up is after a big old mess, which you guys are familiar with. Things have gone terribly wrong. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they've cruised along. They've believed in the Lord and also made some hot messes. We've got Israel going on. They're all enslaved. Now they've just been rescued from where? Egypt, yes. And they are now becoming and being called out as the people of God. And they've been slaves their whole lives. They've been enslaved to Pharaoh. And they come out and we are then given Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 says this. Observe the Sabbath day. They've been given the Ten Commandments. This is the fourth commandment. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Work 6 days and do everything you need to do. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to God, your God. Don't do any work. Not you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your servant, nor your maid, nor your animals. Not even the animals. Can't like hook up the donkey to the little circle thing to crush the grain. You know what I'm talking about? Like, no, the donkey gets to rest as well. Not even the foreign guest visiting in your town. For in 6 days, God made heaven, earth, and sea, and everything in them. And he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, God blessed the Sabbath day. He set it apart as a holy day. The Lord your God is holy, and he desires that his worshipers would worship him in spirit and truth. We're worshiping a holy God. He is set apart outside of the systems of this world, the rhythms of this world, the values of this world, the gods of this world. He's above it. He is holy, and he's called us to worship him in his holiness. And he's set something out. He's invited us into something here. And part of that something in his kingdom is to be at rest with him as a rhythm of our life. Do you see that? So he's inviting these Israelites, though, who have known nothing at this point but slavery. They're being invited. They were known as nothing more than those Jews. They were considered nothing. And God goes, I've chosen you because I love you. And in this, I actually, this morning, I was just reading again through, and God goes, and when you get to the promised land and you get all increased and amazing, just remember, when you went to Egypt, there were only 70 of you. I chose you not because you're awesome. I chose you because I love you. Which is an incredible thing for us, guys, to think about the fact that God chose us not because we're awesome, not because we're smart, Not because we're powerful, but because he loves us. Take a sigh of relief. Think about that. He's saying, I chose you not so that you can perform, but because I love you. And he says, and by the way, Israel, as you're coming back, something I want you to understand is you need to know your identity as sons and daughters. And you're going to practice knowing that by practicing the Sabbath, that you rest from work. In Egypt, you never got to rest. You were slaves. In my kingdom, I'm calling you into my kingdom mission, my original mission that I started in the garden, but I want you to remember that you worship a holy God and he's called you a holy people and you keep a holy day where you wholly rest. Deuteronomy 5, chapter 5, verses 12 through 15, he says it a little bit different and you'll catch this, and I like the difference. It's in emphasis. No working on the Sabbath. I'm still reading in the message. No working on the Sabbath. Keep it holy just as God your God commanded you. Work 6 days doing everything you have to do. But the seventh day is a Sabbath, a rest day. No work. Not you, your son, your daughter, your servant, your maid, your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals. And not even the foreigner visiting your town. And that way your servants and maids will get the same rest as you. Don't ever forget that you were slaves in Egypt and God, your God, got you out of there in a powerful show of strength. And that's why God, your God, commands you to observe the day of Sabbath rest. He's telling them, I want you to understand who you are in my kingdom and how that works. So he says, okay, believers, I'm calling you as sons and daughters. Okay, we practice, when we do this, when we celebrate the Sabbath, we are practicing the eternal garden city that we're called to. How many of you guys know that God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth? That's the plan. And then he's going to live with us always. And he's taking us into his original plan, which was a garden city. He's brought us into his family. And as we're practicing Sabbath, part of what we're doing is we are engaging with him in that very work. We're actually saying, on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done. This is a day where I rest with you. This is a day where I remember who I am in you and who you are in me. And I remember it by not doing anything to define it myself. It's a day where I receive, I don't work. Are you seeing this? A slave only has a purpose when they're working. A son and a daughter can rest. Who are you acting like right now? That's not a rebuke, it's a question. I remember when I went through Restoration Ministries, I did it out of honor, but somewhat flippantly, like, oh, I've been walking with the Lord for a long time, I've been through some stuff, and man, God just rocked my face off with the teaching on the difference between a servant and a son, and it was exactly in this place of rest. I love to work. My dad loves to work. He's still working. It says, my Father in heaven is working, he's working today. Jesus said that. And I love working with my dad, and I'm good at it. I have moved several of you, and I've enjoyed it, and nobody enjoys moving. I'm getting older, I enjoy less, but I do love to work. But here's the thing, guys, I couldn't stop. Ask my wife, ask my kids. I could not stop. I just couldn't. I couldn't sit still, I couldn't rest, and when it came down to it, I couldn't rest because I didn't understand my identity as a son. I knew that I loved the Lord, and I wanted to show him that I loved him because I was going to serve him, just like Jesus serves him, but I didn't understand I was a son, so I couldn't stop because I was only able to bring value to my Father who I loved with that servant mentality if I was working. And so whenever I would stop, that inner murmur would come back up. And I'd just be like, well, that's about enough of that. And I'd just start working again. See, we're engaging with the Father. There's this invitation where he's saying, I want you to understand who you are and how I love you and how I commune with you. What you are called to operate as a son and a daughter. Now, I want you to think about this because he's doing this in this point. They've been enslaved to Pharaoh and Egypt. And Pharaoh and Egypt is the spirit of the world, okay? There's nothing new under the sun. The names change a little bit, but the story's the same, right? So he's calling them out and he's saying, look, I want you to engage with your need for a creator. I want you to be restored with me on Sabbath. I want you to come and be restored in the Garden City on Sabbath. I want you to celebrate the reality of the kingdom on Sabbath. I don't want you to be slaves of these gods of Egypt. And he lists them. He says, remember the great war I had with those gods. Remember, he defeated all the gods of Egypt. Every one of them was calling them to do a different thing. When he tells them, when you go in the promised land, he goes, don't fall in love with their gods or think they're awesome. Get rid of them. They're horrible gods. They even burn their children in the fire to appease these gods. And we think, wow, that's so barbaric. But I can tell you that I regret time that I've had working too much. I almost swore. Oh, I'm really bummed. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. That I don't get back when my kids were little. Man, stupid gods. And it wasn't this one. Are you with me? I served the wrong gods. And I sacrificed my kids' time with their daddy when they needed a daddy. They don't need a daddy anymore from me. I'm a good dad. But I missed some daddy time that my Father in heaven has had to fill in because this daddy served the wrong gods. And I just tossed the time right in the fire. And I regret it. Man. Whew. So watch out. As a grandpa, I'm going to be feeling guilty. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to be feeling motivated. I'm making up for it. And I'm going to be a good dad. All right? His grace is sufficient. But if you have little kids, would you just listen to me? Don't waste that time serving the wrong gods. Whew. All right, so what are the gods of this culture? I mean, I just shared mine, obviously. Oh, holy work. Ooh. What are they? I mean, let's think about that for us. Because when God is inviting us to still practice this rhythm of rest in a seven-day period, it is still counterculture. It is still, we talked last week, for those of you, I'm sorry, nope, staying on track, here we go. It's counterculture that we're resisting the pull of the gods of this age. And we're saying, no, I worship the Lord. So when we stop and we begin to engage in that, we're also resisting some of those calls from this culture, some of those things that want to enslave us. And I want you, that's your, be thinking about that as you move out. Like, wow, what is it that either demands or commands my attention when I'm trying to just take one day where I fully move away from all of that activity? What is it that grabs a hold of me? It might not be work. It might be distraction. It might be, last night, Paul Nunn very articulately talked about different appetites that we have, but we're trying to fill them. They've become an unhealthy appetite. It's a strange thing. I have some food allergies. And what was interesting is as I was experimenting, figuring out what they were, the things that were specifically messing with me, I craved the most. Once I cut them out, I was fine. But when I hadn't figured it out yet, I'd be like, this is so good. And then I'd just be like, oh, heartburn, like so bad. And my, inflammation, all these things. It's such a strange thing. You can actually develop an appetite for something that's not helping you. You have a God-given desire. He says, I will give you the desires of your heart. Well, the desire of your heart is, he says, come unto me and I will give you rest. And Sabbath is one of those ways where we create a beachhead where we practice rest. But some of the things that and you're going to run into these guys, by the way, as you begin to practice taking a day of rest. And I implore you, please, please, if it was good enough for Jesus, if it was good enough for the garden, if it was good enough for the Father God to stop from his work so he could spend time on the seventh day walking with his kids, consider that he invites you to be there with him. If he's taking a break, where do you want to go? Work without him? It's a question. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I just sound like it. Some things that I was thinking about that are gods of this age. I'm just going to read this. I wrote this. We can become slaves to things. And if the world is enslaved to the same things, then it's going to seem correct. It's going to seem right. The water we swim in here in the West is business. The business of gathering wealth and the busyness of being busy. We are called to be ever vigilant, ever outraged, ever active, sensitive, informed, entertained, maximizing every opportunity. And many of these things are even good, but they're being taken to the extreme. And too much of anything is still too much. Even something as healthy and as important as water can kill you if you drink too much in one sitting. Did you know that? You can die of water poisoning. Even water. So in this, we have the business of self-discovery. This is the water we're swimming in, self-identifying outside of God's kingdom. It's an endless work encouraged by the spirit of this age. The gods of our culture, they call out to us. We must decide who we are and what we deem truth and then convince everyone else to agree with our right to define it subjectively in any way that we choose. And it's exhilarating at first, but then we're left with the endless task of trying to hold it all together. And the scripture says to us, in Christ we live and move and have our being. And Sabbath gives us a practice of stepping back from all of this. Psalm 100, verse 1 through 3 says this, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. Oh. Is it? I wanted to stay. Thank you, Lord. We're not the ones who created ourselves. We rest from any and all toil of naming ourselves, at trying to create or maintain identity and accept once again just resting in him. Resting in him being the one that's creating, in him being the one that has named us, in him being the one that loves us. This is the celebration that we're invited to practice on a Sabbath. This is what he invites for us to be, a beachhead, a launching point from the Garden City into extending his kingdom in our spheres the other 6 days. Can you receive that? One of my favorite aspects of Sabbath, this is for Joshua Rivas. This is a custom Joshua Rivas fave right here. Top fave, fave five. Well, who was that? You know what? That's a distraction. Is assessment. I get to stop measuring on the Sabbath. How many of you guys are assessors, right? Who are my production people? Like, raise your hand. It's like, you want to be successful, right? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with assessment. But it's wonderful to have a day where it's just something you don't do. Like, I don't have to think to myself, okay, how are home groups doing? How's my investment portfolio going? How's my wife feel about this? How do I feel about that? How am I doing? How happy am I? Boy, that's the worst question to ask, isn't it? Am I happy? Oh, I was. I just have a rule. No measuring on the Sabbath. No measuring. No assessment. That is out of bounds. And I tell my brain, and my brain goes, are you kidding me? And I say, yeah. And it goes, oh, thank you. And then it tries to help again. I'm like, no, remember? And it's like, oh, that's right. This is too good to believe. But I just love to desist from measuring things, from assessing things, from thinking things about what needs to be done. I write it down. I'll write it down like, oh, that's actually a pretty cool idea, brain. Let me write it down. Now stop thinking about it. We'll talk about it Monday. Are you guys with me? Like, that is a helpful thing, by the way. Seriously, pro tips. If you're one of those people like me that's just real obsessy and measury, and your brain's like, but what about, but I gotta, don't forget, because you gotta, but don't forget, but what about, just write it down and then tell your brain, it's on paper. I can't do it. Some people can do it digitally, but I don't trust this thing. This stupid thing has lost more stuff. My brain's like, yeah, put it there, but I'll also keep it. I'm like, okay, we won't put it there. We'll put it on paper. If the house burns down, we'll have other things to worry about anyway. Pro tip right there. All right. So I desist from assessment. That's one of the things that for me is so beautiful, is to just stop measuring. No measuring. I love celebrating the Sabbath in that way. Now, I do want to say this as we're talking about Sabbath, okay? There's two verses here. Is it, you know, because you're going to ask me, like, well, what day am I supposed to do it, you know? When I was growing up, there was actually a group of people who loved the Lord, faithful, wonderful people, and I have nothing to back up because I didn't dig far enough. I wasn't that interested, but as to how they did their math. But they are fully convinced, and to this day, still convinced that the Sabbath is actually Tuesday of each week. It's not a joke. They genuinely believe that when you do all the figures and you start somehow in Genesis, okay, I'm sounding mocking, but anyway, they've got it figured out. And so Tuesdays, and so the kids would miss school on Tuesdays, and the family would all hang out. Their businesses were closed Tuesdays. They didn't work Tuesdays. These guys have Jesus fruit in their lives. I'm in no way mocking them. I'm just saying to them, Tuesday was the holy day to celebrate Sabbath. Are you with me? And they love the Lord. They're walking with the Lord to this day. Jesus fruit in their lives. But in their mind, they were convinced it's Tuesdays. There are others that I grew up, Saturday. Saturday is the holy day. It is, you must do it on the Sabbath. You start Friday night and you're done Saturday night. And that is the calendarized will of God. And they do that with all their heart. Jesus fruit in their lives. And then others, it's Sunday. You do Sunday because the Lord was raised on Sunday and the church began to celebrate Sabbath on the Lord's day because that's when Christ was raised. And they are fully convinced in their heart. The scripture says this. First of all, Mark 2:27, Jesus was speaking and he says, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So then the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." They were saying, like, here's all the things you shouldn't do on this special day. And he goes, whoa. The Sabbath is a gift for you. Receive the gift that I'm giving. And don't misunderstand how this works because everything is fulfilled in Christ Jesus. The next scripture I want to share with you is Romans 14:5-6. And he says, "One person considers one day more sacred than another, and another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. And whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord." I share this with you because I don't want you to get hung up on what's the perfect day to celebrate Sabbath. I think we could miss the point if we do that. Now I'm open if the Lord's like, "Joshua, actually go repent to Christ Center. You're missing it." This is, you know, I would be open to that. I just don't think that's what the scriptures say. So I want to be very open-handed. I'm not being cavalier. We're working at our salvation with fear and trembling unto the Lord. But I think the scriptures are telling us in Christ all things are fulfilled. But we have been invited into a rest with the Lord that was given at creation, that there is a rhythm of taking one day off each week and celebrating it with the Lord. Which day that is, I think we have some liberty there. I feel the scriptures say we have some liberty there for celebrating that according to the dictates of your conscience under the influence of his Holy Spirit unto the Lord. And I just want to say that. So don't get hung up on that. I would invite you to not get hung up on that piece, all my fellow legalists out there. I want to share two more thoughts and then we're going to have our lovely sister and an incredible teacher, Amber, come and share. But here's two things I want you to catch that are just fun facts about how God designed us. The first one is from an athletic blog and talking about like pro athletes and what is needed in order to just be operating at that level. But this is true of all humans, and it's simply this. In the world of athletic training, rest and recovery are often undervalued. However, their importance cannot be overstated. Rest days are an integral part of the training schedule, providing the body time to recover and adapt to the stress of high-intensity exercise. During this downtime, the miracle happens. By simply resting, the body repairs tissue, replenishes energy stores, and strengthens the cardiovascular system. Quality sleep is a critical component of short-term recovery because it boosts the production of human growth hormone, a key player in the regenerative process. On the other hand, inadequate rest can lead to increased levels of cortisol, a stress hormone that can impede recovery and lead to overtraining syndrome, burnout. Mentally, rest periods offer an opportunity to reset and refocus, enhancing performance in the long term. Seasonal training programs often have planned recovery days and lighter periods of activity, of active recovery, to prevent mental burnout. This promotes a holistic approach to athletic health and performance. Rest and recovery aren't just about physical rejuvenation, but also about fostering mental resilience and grit. So this is just common knowledge among the people that are training our highest athletes. If you don't rest weekly, you will burn out. Your body will actually peak, and not only will you not get stronger, faster, and better, you'll actually get worse and worse and worse, and your performance will go down. That's a good word right there. So that's one witness. Here's another interesting one. And Jason and Amber, would you guys come on up? In recent thought-provoking review of research, this is from the Scientific American Journal. In a recent thought-provoking review of research on default mode network, so this is where your brain just kind of rests, where you just step back from everything, it says this: Mary Helen Immordino Yang of the University of Southern California and her co-authors argue that when we are resting, the brain is anything but idle, and that far from being purposeless or unproductive, downtime is in fact essential to mental processes that affirm our identities. Does that not sound like Bible? Come on. It develops our understanding of human behavior, and it instills an internal code of ethics. All of these things depend on determined downtime. So I thought both of those things were fascinating, because I think sometimes in the kingdom, we can miss out on, we sort of like put it all in sort of like, well, those are spiritual matters and I need to be thinking about that, but that doesn't really apply to me because I don't really need it. And it's like, well, actually, you are designed to have a day of rest, and you don't do it to your own detriment, and it doesn't help you to be productive. As an employer, I get really frustrated when people work too much because they actually suck more at work. That was harsh. It's a harsh ending right there. I just need to get off now. I'm just speaking to the workaholic in me. I think I just give myself some tough love. At any rate, I thought that was fascinating, but I would love to hear a softer, gentler, more informed, and amazing person talk about this. So why don't you guys wrap this up?
He was talking about her, unfortunately. And this is Amber. Say hi to Amber. You guys know Amber. She's a fantastic teacher and a good friend. Amber, you were talking about the wisdom of practicing Sabbath. Why? What is the wisdom behind it in your eyes?
Well, other than summarizing everything Joshua just said, one of the things with Sabbath is it literally means stop. Like it, the Hebrew word literally means stop. And there's this picture of when we practice Sabbath, it is like a time portal back to the Garden of Eden. And when God stopped, it's this picture of him basically like moving into this house that he just designed and created and just like making himself comfortable there in his presence. And everything with us, he wanted a home with us and providing everything we need because we are humans with limitations. And so in the garden, he did not create us to not need sleep and to not need food and to not need relationships. Instead, it's this home. The garden and Sabbath are a picture of this home where we have relational proximity to God and to people and this recognition that God has given us everything we need.
Sabbath has been a key part in your family life growing up and today with your own family, with Brian. You have practiced it in different ways over the years. You told me one interesting thing about your entire school career, which was high school, college, and then grad school. What is that?
No homework, ever.
On Sabbath.
On Sabbath, yes.
That means you wouldn't study.
Would not study. So my family has always practiced Sabbath from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday evening. And so we'd shut all the books up. My mom she never studied either on Sabbath. And so she was able to tell me, everything, all the studying you need to do, God has given you 6 days to do it. And so you don't have to do it today. And I wouldn't do any homework at all. And then, you know, sundown would come and I'd get the books out and study and write my papers and things like that. But it was a day of not having to worry about it at all.
Suddenly all the kids in the room were like, hey, mom and dad, we need to get more serious about the Sabbath thing. I like that. She won't tell you this, but also the fact is Amber was valedictorian of her high school, which had 3,000 people, and her college, and in grad school, I think. So
they don't have valedictorian
in grad school? Well, she would have if she had. I just thought that was really interesting. Doesn't that say something? This woman refused to study for a whole day and actually rest and then was valedictorian. I think that's pretty cool. You guys have kept on going in the way that you raise your family. Mm-hmm. What is your Sabbath? Now, we were talking about this. In terms of you said you would look for things that are restorative, because that's even the word. It's not just like, you know, you could sit and let's binge Netflix all day, but that's, how many of you guys really feel like, oh, I feel so refreshed after watching 8 hours of something? Like, it's like, ugh. Or man, I doom scrolled on Facebook for 3 hours. Thank you, Jesus. I feel like I have life. Like, that's not restorative, right? It really is true. I think each and every one of us know those things which restore us and don't restore us. So you have looked for things that are restorative. Can you just tell me what that looks like, starting early in the morning?
Well, no alarms, for one thing.
No alarm clocks.
No alarm clock. So really just wake up when my body wakes up. And if it wakes up at 6 o'clock like it did 2 weeks ago, then guess what? I get to take a nap at 10 a.m. And then another one at 4. Because sometimes you don't realize how tired your body is from the rest of the week. And so Sabbath for me is a day with, I have no to-do list, avoid having a schedule at all. And so it's paying attention to what my body is needing in terms of rest, for one thing.
You said you take walks.
Oh, yes. So I'll take like a longer than normal prayer walk. I'll spend time. I try to spend time outside, because there is something about how God reveals himself in nature and just connecting with him out there. Spend time as a family. I try to like just enjoy quietness. So enjoy quietness so there's better time to read the word or pray or just honestly just enjoy the quiet, because our lives are so loud.
How many of you guys like go, oh, when she says that? Like enjoying the quiet is wonderful.
I mean, I have 4 kids, so it's never that quiet, but.
And you have Brian,
quiet.
So it's never
and I have
that
Brian.
Quiet. Brian sometimes watches a baseball game.
Yeah.
It's very restorative. Unless the Red Sox are getting trashed, then it's angsty. Anything else?
Part of it is, so there's no to-do list. And one of the wisdom principles is not only is it, it's very community. So Sabbath is a very communal thing. And so it's not just, oh, okay, kids, I'm Sabbathing today, so you have to do all the housework. But it's, no, you get a break too. So you don't have to make up your bed today, not that they make up their beds frequently. But that was the one from like my life growing up that was really big that my mom started with me, is you have to make up your bed every single day, but not on Sabbath. And so we really, unless people are like coming over, we're not going to clean. I'm just going to hopefully clean ahead of time. Otherwise, we just rest in our mess. And yeah, and so it's, I think it's about, yeah, it's really a day of no to-do lists and stopping.
And enjoying.
Enjoying.
We've hung out with you guys
on
the Sabbath before. Yeah. And enjoy and laugh and just, it's a gift. That's what I just keep coming back to. This is a gift. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And we will we'll share meals like with his parents or with friends. And it really is a day for relational reconnection with God, with one another, for remembering that we are not enslaved to all of these voices that are telling us, you need to buy this, you need to do this, you have to get this done, or you're going to fall behind, or you're not going to succeed, all those things.
Awesome. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So this week in home groups, you guys are going to be watching another video with John Mark Comer and his crew, and they're going to talk about spiritual practices in general and giving sort of an overview on some of these things, and to talk a little more about Sabbath and to invite you in to practicing it. And this isn't what some of you guys are like, dude, I cannot do this. My life is too crazy right now. I want to go to there, as Joshua would say, but I can't do it right now. Well, it's okay to start small. It's okay to say, you know what, maybe I could just get 3 hours this Saturday and just rest, you know, and let that grow. So it's an invitation. It's an invitation. God's not up there smacking anybody over the head. It's an invitation. Look at this gift I have. Maybe you thought this was like a harsh law, and a rah, 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 but it's actually an invitation. Come and enjoy it. Just like he gave to Israel, a slave people who probably never, ever got a day off, but he invites them in, take a day off. In fact, no one can ever, ever subjugate you again because you're always going to have a day off. Isn't that cool?
Amen.
Go ahead. Can you guys stand with us? I want to invite you guys, if you would like prayer for anything going on in your life, maybe for just grace to be able to walk this out, or maybe it's something completely different for healing or for just any kind of prayer ministry. Our prayer team is coming forward right now. We invite you guys to come pray. Amber, would you just pray a blessing over our congregation to be able to receive this gift of Sabbath?
Lord, we thank you that you have set us free in Christ, that we are not slaves to the powers and the pressures of this world, but that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God who rests. And Lord, we thank you that you let us enter into your rest, you let us reflect your rest, and that you've given this rest as a gift to us. Lord, please give us the grace to receive it and take those deep breaths with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We love you guys. We'll see you next week.